we're going to buy an index if we can find one.
That's not how that's worded, Bobby.
No, it says Emilio will jerk off to index VR porn, yeah, which is probably a natural side effect. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
And I am the only other person in the room. This is becoming more and more of a thing. She's getting caught up in real world life stuff. Ray is off gallivanting through the desert. Minnie's earning $20. And Chad, I don't know. Chad is working, I guess. Oh, he's moving. He's moving to Irvine.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So he'll be closer to work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot closer to work.
Yeah, his girl left her job.
And
she had a sweet job.
Yeah, at
Legendary Films.
Yeah, Legendary.
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
Super surprising.
He'll be actually closer to us then, won't he?
Yeah, a lot closer, so that's good.
Cool.
Still hasn't come to see my baby, but I am bitter.
Yeah, well, and we apologize if you hear a dog barking. That may be happening.
Yeah, the gardener decided to show up at 6 p.m. to, I don't know, pick up some stuff or something, and he hates him. It's like nemesis. He's bit him once or twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get started here, just a thank you to Kevin, our newest patron.
You can say who it is, man. It's Kevin fucking Smith.
I don't know if we want to give out last names here.
Oh, I was doing it because he's fucking super popular, man. He's a movie maker. Okay. It's probably not that Kevin Smith, but we've brought him up a few times. What, as a connoisseur of movies, you put him at where at him as a movie maker?
I don't know.
You don't like any of his movies, right?
No, I mean, there was a time where I probably would have bagged on a lot of his movies, but I don't really trash on movies too much anymore.
Yeah, you seem to be a lot more forgiving, man.
Yeah, I mean, the more I watch movies, the more I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I don't go into movies with my arms crossed anymore. But that being said, like, I don't really care for a lot of his movies, but I kind of missed him. Because they were huge when he came out with Clerks, his first one.
Right.
Yeah. And that was just like, oh my God, this guy's going to be huge. And there was Dogma, Chasing Amy, and all those other ones. And I mean, he's had some good ones, but I never really caught on. And I kind of missed it. I watched, I think it was about 4 years ago, I went and watched like all his movies.
Oh, really?
So it was, I was a little late to the Kevin Smith party.
Well, you haven't seen the newest ones, right?
I haven't seen the Walrus one, Tusk.
Yeah, Tusk. And then the other one is Yoga Hosers.
Hosers. Yeah. The one with his
daughter
and Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one.
I think it's like a young teen woman, girl thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, off of Kevin Smith.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you. Patron update coming up very soon here. We talked about it last week. I don't know if it's in effect, but it will be very, very soon here.
Yeah, probably this week, or if it's not already. We can probably go over the details later on.
Well, we do want to I don't know if it was announced yet in Discord, but there are going to be some big updates, especially at the $5 tier. So I would encourage you to check that out. And one thing that we're doing too...
it's at the announcements.
Oh, it is in the announcements?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The announcements were made?
Yeah.
All right, then we should talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Oh, yeah, it's all there. So we've got new tiers. So when we reach different tiers, that's going to unlock stuff.
Goals.
Yeah, goals. So a few things here. If we hit the $340 a month, we're going to buy an index if we can find one.
That's worded, Bobby.
No, it says Emilio will jerk off to index VR porn, which is probably a natural side effect of getting VR. But that'll be cool because then we'll have more VR games to talk about. Other things.
And that's within reach. We've already hit our first goal, it's a hint towards what's in the bag. Mm-hmm. We're going to ask Reconius if he wants the hint. If he doesn't want it, we'll put that hint towards the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and other things too. We'll add more movies on the DL per month. We'll do two of those a month instead of one. We've got a few of those recorded and ready to go. They're going to be coming out soon.
Yep.
And you know, our last one, if we make $1,337, we'll rent a studio somewhere. So that's a big goal there.
Yep. And then the tiers have been reworked too. So there's only three tiers: 5, 10, and 18. And so, yeah, check them out. There's some good stuff in there.
Yeah. Definitely the $5 tier, man. Hey, it's $5 a month. It's not that much, and you get quite a bit for that. So check that out. And also, I finished this today on our website. We now have the high score section here.
Oh, nice.
So I've only got the top five. We'll see if we'll add more. But if you, these are the five biggest contributors on Patreon here.
It looks sweet, man.
Yeah, it turned
out. It looks like a bit, damn, the background's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a great job.
Mobius, check that out, dude. You're number one, by the way.
You are number one. Yep. And Trashzilla, number two, you know, he's kind of, we don't see him a lot too much. He's on the Discord, but he doesn't really speak up too much, but he is, he's a big contributor.
Same with Todd Monster. Like he'll talk from time to time, but not as much as the other guys.
Yeah.
Anyways, you silent killers, you help out a lot too.
Yep. All right. And then we also want to mention DLG Con House. So we have landed on a t-shirt design. We are definitely going to be having, if you show up to DLG Con, you're going to get a t-shirt. We'll get your sizes. But we've got a design that we're pretty happy with, and we're in the process of getting someone to make that.
Yep. And I'm pretty excited about it. We're going one direction. Bobby called an audible, and then everybody just loved it right away. So
yeah,
that's going to be super secret, right? Are we going to announce those?
That's, yeah, we're not telling anybody. Yeah, that's going to be a surprise.
But especially we still got not the part left. Where... just kidding.
Yeah, but yeah, more rooms left for that, so check that out. I'll link it in the show notes.
Yep.
All right. Time for some audio games. Uh-oh, did we lose Warconius here?
Warconius, maybe.
Uh-oh, let me see if I can find him, or maybe he'll come back.
Sniper's in the hangout. We could jump over there real quick and ask him.
Is he, though? He might not be present. I don't know. We can talk about something else, and hopefully Warconius comes back.
Cool.
All right. Let's see. Guess we'll talk about On the Radar, because there's only one game here.
Oh, dude, that's the one thing I didn't fill out.
You forgot to add stuff?
Yeah.
We had quite a few people suggesting stuff in... I thought I was going to sneeze. We had a lot of suggestions in Discord here. I went through them, and none of them really spoke out to me.
A lot of people playing Wilson. But it jumped up to $40 after it went 1.0. I can talk a little bit about, so I didn't pick it up for $40. Bobby, if you go up a little bit, go up.
Hold on. Oh, I just saw Warconius. I'm going to see if
there
I can,
is.
I don't know if I can move him. Uh-oh. Sniper, no.
Should you jump in?
Yeah, maybe we should just do that. Okay. Hopefully no one else will come in the hangout. All right. Hey, Warconius, how's it going, man?
Whoa. Whoa.
Hey, yeah. Are you able to jump into the call-in or no?
No, yeah. No. We have to move people into that. But apparently Sniper's the only one that can do it.
Wow. Yeah. He's taking over, dude, slowly and surely.
Yeah, he's a Canadian. They're sneaky.
Yeah,
you know?
They're super sneaky.
Yep.
The assassins of the north, they call them.
You know, John Candy's last movie was Canadian Bacon, or no, it was actually that Going West one or something, but one of his last movies was Canadian Bacon, and they were talking about how Canadians were infiltrating America, and I always think of the visual. They're like, they use the, it's like syrup, like the maple syrup, like seeping down into the U.S.
Yeah.
I always think of that. But Warconius, longtime listener here, I would think you'd do pretty well on this since you really know the show.
And he's one of them.
Man, you're putting a lot of pressure on me. I don't know.
That's, I don't want to do that because I am constantly surprised by which answers people get right here. But, the record is 2 out of 3. So we'll see if you can beat that. And then I hear you've got a really, strong feeling that you know what is in the mystery bag.
Yeah, I think I'm like 85% there. Like I'm pretty solid in terms of having a guess. So we'll see. All right. But I will take the hint. You know, if it's a good hint, I'll take it.
All right, tough guy. We'll see about that.
All right, let's start out with who said that. So I'm going to give you a quote. You tell us which caster said this.
Okay.
This game looks like it's going to give me HPV.
Oh, damn. Man.
I don't know that one.
This one's kind of a deep cut.
Yeah, I don't think Emilio knows what HPV is. So that's eliminating him.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Chi because it sounds like something like Chi would say. It you does. Know, it's kind of lewd.
It would have been my mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Give him the
what?
Yeah. No, I actually said that, and that was about the game Scum.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you used HPV.
I
really?
Did. I was very proud of that because it got a laugh. I don't get many of those.
Because there was a lot of, because all the pooping, right?
It was a gross game. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, yeah.
It's gross.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to do which one is that? Hopefully you know your Call of Duty games. Which Call of Duty game featured Riley the dog?
Riley the dog?
Yeah. I wouldn't focus on the name too much, but they heavily advertised a dog in one of these Call of Duty games.
The Call of Duties are tough, man, because there's so fucking many.
Yeah, and I've only played two or three of them, so I never know these.
Yeah,
yeah. And I've played, like, back in the day, Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 2, and then I did the Modern Warfare remaster, and then that's about it. Hmm. Well, I'm gonna just guess and say...
Well, you
say,
want a hint? I'll give you a hint here. I don't know if this helps or not, but this cool. is one of the Call of Duty games that I've played. One of the few.
Ooh. Didn't you play like
hard questions, dude?
Black Ops 1?
No, I'm sorry. It was actually Call of Duty Ghosts.
Man, you're chopping away from all that confidence before he gets to the big question.
Yeah. But only one of these questions really matters.
Matters, yeah.
But yeah, Call of Duty Ghosts. Now, that game at the very beginning starts in San Diego after a terrorist attack, and you
really?
Can see the Coronado Bridge. First of all, they have the stadium and the Coronado Bridge in the background, so I assume it's supposed to be Petco Park. The landscape is all messed up. Like, that's not how San Diego looks, but you can tell someone went to San Diego, looked at how... you know, looked at a few features and then kind of threw those assets into the game. I got a screenshot of it on my Steam page, but yeah, Coronado Bridge is in that game.
Cool.
All right. And for the final question here, well, second to last, we're going to play an audio clip. Now, do you want a sound effect or some music?
I'll go with music. I'll change it up.
Music. Okay. All right. I feel like I've been giving you some hard ones here, so let's let's give you something a little on the easier
Tetris.
Side here.
Tetris.
Okay, here it goes. Hopefully this is loud enough.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by? By and by.
I don't think of this game very often, but when I do, I'm like, oh.
I think about replaying this game all the time. All right, any guesses there, Warconius?
What the hell?
Oh, tell me you know this game.
When I first heard it, dude, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I was like,
Sounds very, very
gospel-y.
Yeah, gospel.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, keep going.
Ride
down
that
road.
Out. Ride that out. Bark up that tree.
Something. Walking simulator, probably.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
This game was a big deal, but it's a little dated now.
Yeah.
What's it been, like 7 or 8 years?
I was going to say 5.
No. It's been, well, maybe 6 or 7 years.
Does it come in, like, the credits?
No, they play it.
No, this
beginning.
Is actually in the early part of the game, and it's repeated a few times throughout.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good song.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a real song, but they did their own version of it for this game.
My mind is going, like, towards Supergiant. Ugh. It's not, like, Bastion?
Wow, our first zero, huh?
Yeah. What?
I'm sorry. Oh, no. That was Bioshock Infinite. Yeah.
Well, I haven't played Bioshock yet.
Dude, wow. What are you doing with your life, dude?
No, it's on my backlog.
Yeah, that's got to go right to the top.
Yeah, play that, man.
I think that game would hold up.
Oh, yeah,
I think
sure.
You could play that now and still great. Bioshock 1, a little dusty, yeah. But Infinite, yeah.
2's a hard pass.
Yeah.
3, for sure.
Yeah, definitely three.
I was planning on playing it like in the next month or so after I'm done most of The Witcher. So,
okay,
playing The Witcher 3.
Yeah,
replaying or that is your first playthrough?
It's my first like real playthrough. Like I've done like maybe 5 hours once, and then now I'm like deep in. Like I'm 30 hours in.
Okay, you're enjoying it,
doing all the quests. It's so good. Like,
dude, it's just, so good.
It's the best game.
Yeah, it's the best game. What which of the, what are they called? Like aspects did you go? Like bear, cat, or wolf? Do you know?
I went wolf.
Yeah. That's the more wolf. Agile one, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I went wolf and just look, the side quests. Like it's just all about the side quests. They're so good and the writing's so good and the voice acting is on point.
It's just better than your performance today, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Thanks. You got a chance to redeem yourself.
The next one is the.
This is for all the beans, dude.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'll play it for you one more time here. Prize pool is up to 25 big ones.
And the hint is one word. And that hint. Do you want it?
Yeah.
The word is automated. Automated.
Automated.
That's a tough hint.
Automated.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, you know what? I don't know if the hint helps me.
Okay.
So my thinking is it's not an SMG. So I'm going to just put it out there. Like, it's just not that because I think we've gone down that road and you guys have hinted that that's kind of like the red herring, right?
Right.
Or maybe. In Canada, we call that the red moose. and I think because of the way you guys have been talking about it, I'm pretty sure it's from a Valve game. And the thing that came to me when I was listening to it, and I have kind of gone on the internet and gotten audio files and listened to it.
Oh, you dirty.
I think it's from Left 4 Dead.
From Left 4 Dead? Okay.
And I think it's when you're starting up the chainsaw.
The chainsaw.
Damn. Think about that, dude. Like, play it.
All right.
No.
Yeah.
I don't hear it.
Or a generator.
Anyway, you're wrong. Oh, for four.
Man, you were on the right track. You took a hard left.
By the way, neither of those things are automated. They have to be hand started. So.
Yeah, your hint sucked.
Yeah, the hint. Let's kind of.
That's good enough, dude. Let's get this going.
I feel like there's people out there that know it. There's some very confident people.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're on the right track, and the hint automated, so it's not something that a human has to operate.
Right.
So that's what we mean by automated. But I feel like you kind of helped everyone else out there, Warconius. You didn't take on the
Well, that's all it's all about. I just want to help people. I didn't want to win anything, and I didn't want to get any answers right because I wanted to kind of show everyone that it's possible to fail and still have fun, you know?
For sure.
DLG. It's not about being accurate. It's not about being factual.
Awesome.
One last question, dude. You're not playing it on Switch, are you? The Witcher?
No, I'm not. I'm playing it on PC.
That game's on Switch?
Yeah, it just came to Switch.
Oh, yeah.
I got it in the news.
Cross-save, too.
It has cross-save from PC. They did it right. But we'll talk about it later. All right, dude. Okay. Thanks for participating.
Thanks, guys.
All right. See you later, Warconius. All right.
I'm glad, like, Robert Nussie didn't just jump in there. Hey, you big old.
That would have been pretty
good. We did that in a public channel, and we got away with it right now, so that went pretty well.
Things are a little quiet on the server now, so we're able to. All right. Let's get back to On the Radar, games that have come to our attention. So the game that I have on here, I think I found this on PC Gamer. They recommend a lot of good games in their news feed, actually.
Yeah.
Or did I find it somewhere else? I can't remember. Maybe it was on Twitter. I can't even remember where I get things now. But this game is called Over the Alps. Postcards written in invisible ink reveal a secret history. Travel back in time in the debut game from Stave Studios, Over the Alps. Stay undercover, evade the police, and race across 1939 Switzerland in this Hitchcockian World War a World War II spy thriller. Whew.
Switzerland sounds like a really nice place.
Yeah, dude, I was running out of oxygen. That whole paragraph. There's like no periods in that. So yeah, this is very Hitchcockian. It's like a, it reminds me a little bit of like the 39 Steps, you know, Man on the Run, trying to figure out why people are chasing him kind of thing. But the art style looks very simplistic, but very nice.
It looks like 50s postcards, mm-hmm. the yeah. drawn ones, the little.
Yeah, the drawn postcards, very yeah. Americana. Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say not a fan, Bobby, already.
I wouldn't think so. So it's an adventure, like a story game. And I'm not really sure the footage and the screenshots they have don't really give away too much of the mechanic, but it looks like there is going to be a lot of reading. So hopefully you're okay with that.
Not a whole lot of shotguns or heads being used with those shotguns. So it's going to be a hard pass here.
Yeah. Let's see. No price on it yet. Release date is March 31st.
You going to give it a shot, Bobby?
I might.
Okay. So can we go to On the Radar over here and then scroll up a little bit? There's some games on here I want to talk about. The Pedestrian. Have you seen this?
No.
You got to watch the video, man. So it's a puzzle game where you play a little stick figure jumping from one, that like these little signs that are on like a public street. They're just like, it's very hard. Check it out. It's called The Pedestrian. There's a video on it. And it's a 3D world. But you're playing a 2D game in the 3D world on these like little cardboard cutouts that are pasted on the wall everywhere. I don't know how else to explain this. Probably, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. You're watching it. But
yeah.
Sometimes what's going on in the real world affects the little postcards. So right now we're looking at one that there's a cork board and there's electrical outlets. And you got to switch those around to affect the puzzle to get energy to the right postcards. I'm making no sense, but it looks fucking awesome.
It's a hard game to explain, but I see what you're saying. It's a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle game. With a mix of full on 3D graphics with it's free.
Free demo.
Right.
$20 for the game, free demo.
Yeah. That's putting a lot of like faith in your product, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a cool move.
I'm glad the demos are coming back.
For sure. And then go up a little bit more, Bobby. I'm not going to speak on this too much because I want to read on it completely before that one right there. Mountain Blade 2. Mountain Blade 2 is coming in early access. Where's that music coming from?
Oh, whoops.
early access at the end of March. So the first Mountain Blade is one of the most complete games that I've ever played as far as the amount of things that you can do. You're like a single person that starts off as a peasant, and you can go all the way up to like owning a castle, but you have to do all of the work. I don't even know how to explain it. You can recruit characters, gain money, recruit characters, and you have to manage every single one of your guys' inventory. Like, it's just basically like a life simulator, but in the medieval times, basically. But the combat was super fun. You can rout the enemy. Just hyper-realistic, you know? It was a third-person perspective, but I think you could go in the first person. But I became aware of Mountain Blade a little too late. Like, Skyrim had already come out by the time I played Mountain Blade. And I was like, oh, man, this is just a little too dated. I wish I could have played this. And a lot of people are behind this game and waiting for this second one. And they've delayed it like a year, which is always good news in my ears. But it's coming out in early access, and this is not a game that I would like to play in early access. So I'll probably wait until the full release to be picking it up. So I've waited this long. I can wait that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about this game, Bobby?
I tried to play Mountain Blade once, and it was cool. I kind of saw what everyone appreciated about it, but it was, I don't know. It was an old game.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very old game.
A lot of like technical intricacies that are just dated or were just different. It wasn't the norm. It was hard to control.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things going on.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be a big hit, though. There's so many people that still play the original Mountain Blade.
Yeah.
I feel like they should have called it Blade and Mount. Because you say Mountain Blade, it sounds like a mountain blade.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I want a mountain blade. I think it'd be pretty sweet. Hey, Bobby, check out. I got a brand new mountain blade.
It makes me think of like that sword from Final Fantasy that's like three times the size of that dude who carries it.
That's Cloud, and I believe that's... Fuck, I forget the name of the sword.
Oh, the sword has a name?
Something Buster, I want to say.
Hmm.
Anyways.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games that we have been playing. I played Wall Street Kid last week. No joke.
How'd it go?
Good. I'm a lot better at that game now.
I would assume so. If you guys don't know, if you weren't here for last week, it's a NES game?
It's a Nintendo game, yeah. NES, original NES, where you just buy and sell stocks, and you have to balance your life by exercising and keeping your fiance happy, and then achieving all these life goals, like buying a house, buying a yacht, marrying her, then buying a castle. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple game because it's a Nintendo game. But what I really wanted to talk about was the emulator that I used to play this game. So I had to stay late for work for something, and I had like 2 hours to kill, and I had my Mac. So I found this emulator that I've used once before. So I picked it up again. It's called OpenEMU. And this is the best emulator I've ever seen, but it only works on Macs. And it is an emulator for all your systems. It puts them in a nice, neat, organized library right here. Mm-hmm. You just install the emulator for the system that you want. You click and drag the ROM into it. It automatically puts it in there. You get some nice cover art. You can apply a rating if you want. Like, it's the cleanest library I've seen for emulators ever. You can save and load states. You can have separate saves in there. It's all contained in inside the app. Like, it's just such a clean experience. I know, like, RetroArch is pretty popular on PC. Windows, yeah, but I haven't really used that too much. I think I tried to once, and or maybe I don't know.
This is good for people that know that have like stuck with a Mac for work. Like Evan Sweet right now, he's stuck with a Mac for work right now.
Yeah, well, what's odd to me is this isn't on PC. Like, they don't have a PC version of this.
Weird,
like,
right?
You never see that where something's only available on a Mac. Well, I mean, Final Cut Pro and a few other things, but just like third-party software. Yeah, very strange.
Well, good thing you had the ROM sitting around from when you originally owned this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally legit. Yeah, full support for the controller. Yeah, it was great, man. I wish I could have this on a PC. But you know what it does? Like, the actual emulator, this is just like the library system. It actually downloads the same emulator you would use on a Windows PC.
Oh, okay.
So I downloaded, like, I don't know, JNES or whatever was their preferred emulator for NES. But it all is just so self-contained that it doesn't put files all over the place and get really confusing.
You're really teasing a lot of people here because I don't think our listenership has Macs for the most part. I'm going to go ahead and say...
Yeah, well, check out, I mean, the one everyone talks about is RetroArch. That's like the big one now, so I guess check that one out if you have Windows.
Cool.
But yeah, let's talk about Darksburg, though. So you got a chance to play this?
I did. Zap put it on the radar, and I just took one look at it, and I was like, okay, bot. I didn't see the reviews before. I just saw the artwork and what the concept was. And I was like, hey, JP, Zap, you want to play? And Zap's like, I don't know, man. I was like, you're the guy who suggested it. But anyway, when I got home, me, JP, and Sniper all picked it up. In the expectance that we were probably going to return it within the 2 hours, we're going to check it out and see what's going on. Basically, the best thing it has going on for it is what all the reviews say. The concept is pretty great. So it's a Left 4 Dead type game mode, I guess you would say. A bunch of zombies, and you go from point A to point B with special infected that do almost the same thing. That, you know, there's the choker, and there's the one that leaves, like the spitter, something like that. A bunch of stuff like that. A charger. But the perspective is completely different. It's more of like a Diablo-esque perspective. And the art looks fucking fantastic, man. It looks like, you know, like something out of WoW or something like that. I really like the art, but it pretty much, and it's an early access, so I'm not supposed to shit on it too much, but I mean, the sound wasn't very good. The combat wasn't great. I mean, when you have a game where 90% of the time you're slashing zombies, it should be satisfying to slash zombies. I felt that my hits just, I don't know, it didn't feel great. Yeah, sound was off. There's not much to it. There's, I think, three levels that have a point A to point B type setup, and then two levels that are wave survival. And yeah, but besides that, it's, you know, Left 4 Dead. It's like you have the bandage and you get the white health and all that stuff. You get knocked down, you get picked up. If you get knocked out completely, you know how you like find some people in a closet?
Mm-hmm.
This time it's always outhouses for some reason. So I guess they took a potty break. I like that part. But we fought the same boss on different levels, which, you know, it's the first time out. You know, they're just hitting the market.
Are you going through a story as you play this game, or is
there's
it,
nothing, man? It's really
when you
really
play bad. The game, are you unlocking stuff? Like,
what? There is a skill tree. Oh no, there's a skill path because there's not different branching. It's just like you just progress.
Okay,
and you get item, you get skills
for your different classes.
For your different classes, yeah. There's no diversity. But like I said, it's early on. It's early access. If you want to support them, you could buy it and not return it. I would say it's promising. But they have a long way to go. But the base game is there. It looks great. And the concept's pretty good.
Yeah. $20 for that.
Yeah.
And reviews are mixed. Well, 68%. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
All right. I played Don't Starve Together with Sniper, his girlfriend, and even JP Diddy joined in for a little bit. I played this game before, but
it was not, an early access, I want to say.
Well, there was Don't Starve.
Right.
And then they came out with Don't Starve Together, which ended up being a separate game. So I remember I could get it for a reduced cost because I originally owned Don't Starve. But actually, I've spent most of my time in Don't Starve Together, the game that came afterwards.
Yeah, we played it together a couple times.
Yeah, I remember us and maybe Clown Lotion even played it back when he was called Clown Lotion.
Mm-hmm. good old days.
Yeah, but it was a good game. It's a crafting survival game, but it's very Nightmare Before Christmas, like macabre type of look to it, you know, kind of dark and spooky, but also kind of fun and kooky. Very Addams Family.
Fun until you're literally starving to death.
Yeah, there's a million ways to die, and it's actually a very difficult game. But this is the first time that I've ever really made like a real effort to progress in this game with a group of people. And they were a little more knowledgeable in the game than I was, so that kind of helped. And it was a lot of fun.
What did you guys eventually build? Like, did you get a house going? Or
I didn't quite get to that point. I think we got to day 11.
Okay.
Which is the farthest I've ever made it. But the game is very difficult. And it's a lot of, they throw you into it. There's no tutorial. Like, you're thrown into there. You don't know what's what or what does what. You have to figure out everything on your own. And that's just kind of the game. You know, you just figure it out as you go along. And you figure out, like, how to craft different things, what interacting with different things does.
It's kind of roguelike-y in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're only gaining, the only thing you gain is knowledge for every run.
Yeah, you can unlock some cosmetic stuff, but yeah, there's really nothing that you carry on to another playthrough other than the knowledge that you've gained from the first one. And it's all random as well. You know?
And a lot of it makes sense too. So like you pick a carrot and then a stick and then you make a box and then you can
make a trap out of, like, I don't know, grass and twigs, and then you can combine that with a carrot and turn it into a trap.
I remember most of it made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get teleporters.
Yeah, and they give you, and you build machines that allow you to build other stuff.
Yeah.
And they show you the recipes on the side, too, so it's not like you have to figure that part out, which is nice. But just a lot of the things, like I played the robot character, and it turns out that Rain
damages him.
Yeah, I know, right? And then JP Diddy played the chef, so we were all in accordance. But there, you have weird quirks to each of those characters. So my robot character died in the rain because the rain damages me. I started short-circuiting.
You didn't know that? Or they didn't warn you?
I think it tells you that when you select the character. And it wasn't doing that much damage. I was dying from other stuff as well. But the chef character...
Does the robot have to eat?
Yeah, but not as much.
Okay.
That's probably a either that or like his, there's also a stress factor in this. So you have your health and your sanity that you have to keep up. And,
cause nighttime it gets creepy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You always have to have light during night. Otherwise the monsters come and eat you. And the nights get longer as you progress through the day. So it becomes more difficult. But the chef is very picky about what he eats. So if he eats too much of the same thing, he'll stop eating it. And so there's
a refined palate.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of little quirks to each character. But it was fun. It was a good experience. Like, that game came out like 7 years ago, but it's still a great game, and it was nice to go back to it.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, where like when you go with a cartoony look, it seems to hold up way longer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about the company that makes this game, Clay Entertainment. They have so many hits. You know, I was on Discord, and Captain Gummy was hemming and hawing about buying Oxygen Not Included. And he ended up picking it up and really enjoying it. And that's another Clay Entertainment game. And all their games that I can think of, Mark the Ninja, Invisible Ink, their new one, Grifflands, which I'll talk about.
They're all hits.
Yeah, they're all great games. Like, yeah. They have a solid track record.
And I want to say that Oxygen Not Included is their first like 3D game, yeah?
I can't remember what came first, that or Invisible Ink. But they all have
Invisible Ink is a like isometric game, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's isometric.
But it's not like full 3D world. Like,
is Oxygen...
I'm pretty sure it's like a first-person 3D game.
No.
Yeah, man.
I thought that was like a side... Yeah.
Oh, I might be. Oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah, it's never like, mind.
You know what I was thinking of? The one where you're an astronaut. You're an astronaut.
Astroneer?
You're an astronaut and you're running out of oxygen. And it's like a comedy. It's kind of like this, but it's in first person.
Oh. God, I don't know what game you're talking about.
Like something about seconds, how much time you have left. It's like, whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, I was playing this and I was thinking about how like they always knock it out of the park, Clay Entertainment. And I realized they have a new game coming out called Grifflands, and it's in early access, only available on Epic Game Store in early access, or actually alpha. However, it's going to be on Steam early access in June, but right now you can buy it on Epic for, I think it's on sale for $12.75, typically $15.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I picked it up. And this is one of those rare instances where I just got totally hooked on a game. Usually I pick up a game during a week, I play it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. I like this, I like that. This game I was totally, totally hooked on, like real bad.
Dude.
It was
this looks great.
Yeah. So it's a deck building game, kind of like Hand of Fate 1 and 2 and Slay the Spire. But this one also mixes in roguelike and also an RPG element. So it's, God, there's so many, this game is so complex. There's so many different moving parts and things to talk about. And I feel like if I explain them, then I'm just going to lose everybody, because you really just have to play it for yourself and figure it out. But it's so complex. And the deck building, like combat with cards, it's so satisfying. There's two types of combats with this. It's, there's typical combat, you know, it looks like a Final Fantasy, couple people on each side, but you use your cards to do attacks, defense, other types of things that affect the flow of combat. But then there's also negotiations. And a lot of times you have the option to either try to negotiate through a situation or to fight through it. Sometimes you have to negotiate, sometimes you have to fight.
If a negotiation fails, does it fall into combat?
If you have the option to do both, you can try to negotiate first. If that doesn't work, then you can fight. Sometimes you just negotiate, like you try to negotiate with someone like, hey, I'm about to get in a fight. Let me negotiate with this guy to try to get him to help me with this fight. Or I'm trying to buy something, or I just completed a quest. Let me negotiate with this guy to get more money. So the negotiation comes in at a lot of places, and you have separate decks for each. And the way that they do it, let me go back to this one screenshot. Again, this is so hard to explain without seeing it and without playing it, but you have these things called arguments. You have your core argument, which is like your health as a character. That's your core argument. And then you can put these other arguments out there, which do various things. And those have their own little health bars and like give you certain advantages. And then the enemies can attack your core health or like the other buffs that you have that have their little health bars, the other arguments. You can, there's all these things you can do, and there's so much vocabulary, but the game is really good about anytime you see a word that you may not know what it means, you just hover over it and it pops up and tells you, oh, this is what that does. Because there's all these words like expend, replenish, right, that you don't really know what that means.
Like a card game.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They all have their own little...
I mean, there's some like combos and finishers. Everyone knows how those work, right? But there's a lot of stuff where you don't really know what it means at first. So and even after a while, you often forget and...
Dude, my nerd boner is strong with this one, dude.
Dude, this game is so good.
This is so up my alley,
dude. Ridiculously good.
Wow.
I was completely hooked on it. I still kind of am. And it's a roguelike.
I wish you would have led with this instead of fucking whatever that other thing was.
No, I was leading up to it.
Oh, you know what I was talking about? I was thinking about Over the Alps, but that was not on the radar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a roguelike. So if you fail, then... they give you one shot to go back to the day. Like, your save points are days. I've only been able to make it to, like, day 4 or maybe day 3. I usually die around day 3. But if you... the first time you fail, you can go and restart the day over. So you get kind of like a do-over. If you fail again, then depending on how far you made it, they let you choose a buff that you can take into the next game or some sort of piece of gear or some sort of benefit. But for the most part, It's a straight roguelike where you're just, each playthrough is its own thing. And I usually hate those types of games because I feel like I have nothing to show for it, but I'm enjoying the actual game loop so much, like just going through the game and playing it and doing these battles with the cards and kind of getting a little bit better and figuring out like new ways. Like, oh, this time I'm really going to focus on my negotiation deck and I'm going to go all hostility. And like recently I've learned like, oh, you know what? If you start finding ways to get rid of cards out of your deck, then other cards show up more, so that'll help, you know. So
that's why on Slay the Spire you can pay
to remove cards.
Yeah. Like, why would you pay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's way better. You want
to? Yeah. Oh, there's ways you can do that in this too.
That reminds me of, so my first time playing Magic the Gathering, not my first time, but when I first got into it with my friends, and this is the time when Magic was fun. And that's what most people will say. When you first discover the game and you're just playing with your friends.
Yeah, that honeymoon phase.
Yeah, and you haven't been introduced to meta and all that stuff. Like it's just fun, right? So I showed up with an 80-card deck, and I was playing three colors.
They don't have a card limit on Magic?
No, there's no limit. But the soft limit that everybody uses is 40 because that's the minimum. Mm-hmm. And that's because you want your cards to show up as much as possible. Yeah. Nobody runs, like, it's very rare that somebody runs 41 or 42 cards. And I come in here with an 80 card deck and I was like, oh my God, there's a place to play. That's what it was called, a place to play. And I was like, oh my God, I found it in the newspaper, dude. And I drove down there and I played and I show up with my 80 card deck. And I'm like, I can't wait because I was destroying my friends, right? Because I was way more into it than they were. So I started, and this first guy that I sat down with, I didn't even know, had been to the Pro Tour and stuff. And he was just, you know, sometimes people that do really well in something, they foster new people coming in. They want, you know, the community to grow. So he's like, dude, first thing you got to do. And I was like, just play me. You'll see what's up. Yeah, I got trounced, of course, over and over. So anyway, yeah, that's when I learned about deck efficiency.
Yeah, you got a higher probability of the cards you want coming up.
Right.
You know, I should say it is a roguelike, but you do level up your character. There's three characters? I don't know. There's multiple characters you can play, but only one of them is available in the alpha right now.
So,
but you level them up, and what you actually unlock is more cards. You don't get those cards when you play, but you get the possibility of those cards coming up now. Yeah. So you do unlock stuff as you go on, I guess.
Yeah, it's a roguelike for sure.
Yeah.
Question. So is it like Groundhog Day where you're playing and the same characters are saying the same things to you every...
No, it's actually random. Same characters, but different, like... like one character might be the bouncer in one of my playthroughs. The other one, he's a bounty hunter or a rogue or something.
Wow, it's almost like you're going through different dimensions.
Yeah, kind of like that. And then different things can happen. Like sometimes they'll, like this quest will pop up that you can do, and sometimes this quest will have that reward. Like it all changes during every playthrough. It's
fucking
different.
Bot, dude.
Yeah, this game is so good. And 1274 right now on Epic Games.
Are we going to talk about Clay?
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was thoroughly impressed. I don't know if it's because this is really the first time I've ever gotten into a deck building game. I've heard you talk about them a lot.
Yeah.
I've never really played one. I've watched a lot of Slay the Spire on streams. And
you haven't played Slay? I could have sworn you played it.
No.
Oh, so you brought it up and then I started playing it.
Yeah, because everybody, when I was into HOTS, everybody was playing that during queue times.
Yeah.
And I watched so much of that between queue times. And I was like, yeah, this looks
check
like
check it out, dude. Slay the Spire paid off my account.
After this one, I don't know. Because, yeah. I mean, I think Slay the Spire is like nice and a little more casual and a little more laid back. And this one's like, I don't know. It's got its hooks in me, though. It's so complex.
I'm glad that you like a game like this much.
Yeah. I'm loving it. I even found out that I can run it on my computer and remote in with my cell phone.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah, and play it on my phone.
Game over. Sorry, kids.
Yeah.
Daddy's got to work.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was my week, man. I just running through those games and then getting super hooked on Grifflands.
Oh, Bobby was playing Guns, Gore, and Cannoli? I don't
know what Guns, Gore, and Cannoli.
Remember you were playing that?
Yeah, I played both of those, one and two.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's up next?
Trine 4.
Oh, just very quickly played it with Sniper and JP Diddy, like right after we played Darksburg, before we're going to get to the two-player. And I hadn't played a three-player yet. And man, was it fun. Again, I talked about this when I was talking about Synthetic. Some games, you just add another player and you're playing with your buddy. And some, the game gets exponentially better and it's it's made from the ground up for you. And, you know, it's funny, Bobby. So it had always been a mystery to me how when we play with two players, do they make the jumps longer or what? Yeah, and the map is actually different.
Huh.
Even though it's very similar, they make it not possible for one or two people to do it. And it's just slight variations in length and distance.
Yeah, I guess that's all you need.
And that's all you need. And you know, it's not every jump. Most of them you can do it just like you could do in any other part. So basically, these guys that make these games are making three versions of these games. If that doesn't deserve your fucking $20, or I think this is like $35 right now, I don't know what does. Like, it's a beautiful game. It's fun. We were laughing. You know, another thing is, so, like, Pontius can raise his shield, right? And somebody can stand on that shield and then jump off of it. But then what happens to Pontius? He's fucking stuck at the bottom of the...
Yeah.
How do we get Pontius up? Guess what we do? We stand on the edge of the cliff and we look at Pontius and we laugh at him until he figures out how to get up. Like, there's a lot of that. There was a lot of, like, poking fun and, like, oh, what are you going to do now, fatty? And just, like, I don't know, man. It was a really good time, as short as it was.
Yeah. No, I mean, Trine's great. I played one and two completely through, and three I'm so close to beating. I just got to go back and finish it up. I love these games, and I don't usually like the fantasy setting, but for some reason this one I like. It reminds me of Shrek in a way, almost.
Yeah, it's like a goofy fantasy.
Yeah, it's very lighthearted.
So Sniper and JP both bought the game, decided to keep the game, and both plan on playing with their ladies.
Yeah, it's a like, great game for that. It's a great for couch sure. co-op.
I wonder if it's on Switch. Maybe I'll play with Sam.
Maybe.
Sam and Mila.
So it's $30 on Steam, but I feel like it goes on sale from time to time.
This is new, isn't it?
Let's see. It's on Green Man Gaming for $20. Game Planet US. Don't know what that is, but it was $16 there. Yeah, well, they have the bundle deal. Okay, the bundle deal if you get all of them. But if you already own, like I do, Trine 1, 2, and 3, then you probably get a reduced price here. Yeah, 20% off.
Yeah, and if you live in a house with like two roommates, just buy the bundle. You guys are, by the time you get to 4, you'll be masters, and I don't know, it just gets better and better.
Yeah, 3 really switched it up a little bit, but like I never got sick of these games.
Yeah.
I'll play this one eventually.
Sniper's like, right after we're like, I don't know, 5 minutes in, he's like, why is this not bigger? Like, how do people not know about this?
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, back in the day too, it was a huge deal because it looked so good. It was one of the games that worked really well with NVIDIA 3D Vision mm-hmm. as well. And I played it with that. It looked beautiful with that. But the whole thing is it's like 2.5D, but it used the same engine that they were using for the Battlefield games back in like 2012, 2013. So it was these really beautiful graphics, backgrounds, detailed characters, but on kind of a simple game. Like yeah. this could have totally been like cartoon hand-drawn characters.
Now again, I don't want you to buy this and think it's like Rayman Legends, where it's like a lot of jumping puzzles and fighting. It's a 2D platformer, but it's really a puzzle game. That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, they do it so well.
Yeah. Trine series is great.
Yeah. All right. That it for highlights? Jesus.
Yep.
Well, I did play some. Remember, did I talk about this already where I was talking about Grim Dawn and how I built my own dude and he was fucking a badass fucking Dark Knight, Death Knight?
Yeah.
I talked about that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it sucked. Like, I couldn't get through anything, dude. I even went back a few levels to try to, like, field trash. It just was not working. I was getting right. fucking fucked up by everything. So I made a whole new character. Now I'm running a Demolisher. I think that was called. They specialize in explosives and not specifically guns, but there's guns in the games, and I've never used guns. So I was like, all right, I'll do that. So his name is Guns McShootShoot. And yeah, Molotov cocktails are the fucking shit when you're playing it like a dungeon crawler. Dude, you just toss that shit, and I put all my points into Molotovs, and I'm having a really good time, and everything's just burning to a crisp. Really good time.
So this one's working.
Yeah, this one's working.
All right. Let's talk a little news here. First up, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, a video game that defined a generation, gets its own documentary. So I saw this actually on the R Movies subreddit, and there's not a whole lot to this article. It's basically saying on February 29th during the Mammoth Film Festival, they're going to be premiering this documentary about Tony Hawk Pro Skater. A big game for everybody. Everybody's played a Tony Hawk game back in the day.
Never played one.
Really?
Yeah.
I had one on the Dreamcast. They're actually really good. The old ones were.
Yeah,
the
people were always talking about them.
Oh, man, they were great.
It was a cultural thing for sure.
The name of this documentary, I don't really like, is Pretending I'm a Superman. And they were saying that it's a reference to, what was it, a 311 song, Superman?
Oh, yeah.
Which the big thing about the Tony Hawk games was always a soundtrack. Like they licensed real music for it. So you always
Three Doors Down, isn't it?
Is it Three Doors Down?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Let me see if I can look it up. No, you might be right.
Sounds great. Yeah. Combo.
But yeah, so the soundtrack, like all the punk music in the soundtrack was like a big deal in this game. And it was, you didn't see that a whole lot in games back then, like licensing real music like that. So
he's a really cool dude. If you follow him on social media, he's always posting about like, you know, he's famous, but he's not like A-list. He's kind of like C-list. And he's always mm-hmm. posting about these weird interactions that he has with the public where he'll put his name down on things and they call out and they'll be like, okay, sure, dude. You know, like stuff like that. It happens over and over, right? Like he comes up on Reddit a lot, his posts.
Hmm. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, he doesn't really have a recognizable face.
I wouldn't recognize it. I'm looking at him and he doesn't even look like Tony Hawk. He didn't age well. I feel like we're the same age, me and Tony Hawk. I'm going to guess that.
You might be. Let's see.
I feel like I look way younger.
Well, I don't know about that.
Hey, you fuck right off, dude.
Oh, dude, he's 51. Wow.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. He still looks younger.
Dude, I realized the other day, I don't know how old I am. Pretty sure I'm 41 or 42, but I don't know which one of those it is. I didn't do the math yet.
Yeah, after a certain point, yeah, who
cares? Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
All right. Oh, that must be his kid. Huh. All right, next up, The Witcher 3 sales increased 999% between show-generated interest and Switch sales.
Yeah, I kind of conflated a couple of articles here because I did some quick math. But yeah, between it going on the Switch, and that's generally, that's just PC players and console players buying it again so that they can play it on the go. Because like we were talking about earlier, your PC saves go right over. I mean, that's great. If you can't, like right now, I would say Waconia, since he travels so much, would probably pay another $60 just to have it on the go. Because he's like balls deep right now. Excuse me.
Do you think they're going to censor it for the Switch?
No, dude. Like, Doom's on there. Switch is, you know, Nintendo's really let things go as far as, like, how child-safe things are anymore.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the show. So people are buying it like crazy. The books are selling like crazy. Like, all things Witcher are blowing up right now. And that's great. What did I see? 80% of Witcher sales are on Steam. And the total revenue is like $50 million. Something like that.
Dang. Dude,
it's selling like crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That game just keeps on making money. When did it come out? 2015?
It was 4 years ago.
2016? Yeah, it got postponed. All right. Next up, Randy Pitchford tweeted that Eli Roth is going to direct the Borderlands movie, but then deletes it.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means. He deleted it like instantly. So I don't know if it was because like his PR team was like, it's not time yet, or maybe something fell off with Eli Roth. Now, Bobby, you being like, you know who Eli Roth is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So he does like very gory movies.
Yeah, right? Yeah. He did the Hostel movies, Green Inferno.
Yeah.
Did a lot of stuff with Tarantino. But yeah, I don't know, because a lot of this stuff, whenever you hear about things like this, things fall through all the time. It's like, it's so hard to define news in media coverage now because things fall apart so quick. It's always been like that, but we, the public, are more privy to the information now. Like, we know, we see behind the curtains, we see everything that goes on. And now we realize like how things fall through so quickly. So I don't know. I wouldn't really put much weight in this.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what happens. But
I didn't even know they were going to be making a Borderlands movie.
Yeah, we covered, because it was so long ago. It was 3 years ago when it got announced, and then it just kind of got put on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Probably because Borderlands 3 was being worked on, but now it's like all systems go or whatever. I don't know. We'll see. What else?
Bethesda and Activision both pull support from GeForce Now, Star Wars Fallen Order 2.
Oh, those are two different ones, sorry. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Like, somebody comes out with something cool like GeForce Now, where you can play your own games that you own on the fly somewhere else on whatever device, and then boardroom meetings happen, and then they pull support, and like, you can't play your own games through the service because it's a third party service. A lot of this is sometimes because, oh, we're going to make our own version of this. And then sometimes it's also maybe they're in bed with Radeon. It could AMD. It could be a bunch of things. But yeah. It's just shitty overall.
I mean, this is the same problem they ran into when all the streaming services started popping up. Like, everybody was trying to become that one service that had everything, but you run into so much trouble just trying to get the licensing for everything. It's a nightmare. Like, building the technology is the easiest part to do that. Like, it's super easy to do, but getting the rights to do, like, to air all that stuff, it's, like, impossible.
Was Netflix a thing when we started the podcast? Was it, like, how big? It was just getting started, really, right?
No, dude. Netflix was definitely a thing, but Netflix is kind of like, back then it was like what Hulu is now. Like, they just gathered up all the shows, like all those syndicated shows from the 80s and 90s, and just threw them on there.
Because I remember movies, I was like, why can't somebody just get everything and put it on one thing? But that has not happened yet. Actually, it's becoming way more fractured.
Yeah.
But it's all good for you because you just borrow everybody else's and you, so you basically have everything.
Yeah, I mean, I could do without it if I had to. Like, it's convenient. The one that I use the most is actually Hulu.
Where'd you see Mandalorian?
My girlfriend has Disney Plus.
But you watch it at home or you watch it with her?
No, we watched it together.
Yeah.
And it was really weird watching that show, actually, because not a lot of shows do that. You know, Netflix just drops a season on you and boom, binge watch.
Oh, right.
But this was like, dude, I felt like I was in the 90s, like everyone waiting, new episode on tonight. Yeah. And then everyone's talking about it the next day.
Yeah, it was cool, man.
Yeah, it was nice to have that back.
That's how experience. Game of Thrones was, but you missed that boat.
Yeah, I stopped around season 3. Yeah, jumped off that ship. All right, last one, Star Wars Fallen Order 2 in the works.
Yeah, so EA has confirmed, Kotaku reported that they're working on that. Nothing about when it's coming out or anything. But there's also another, let's see, what are the exact words? Smaller, go up a little bit, Bobby. Smaller, more unusual project, a Star Wars project. And also, it is being worked on, and also the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Mm-hmm. So I think those are both good news.
Yeah, no, I like that. Smaller and more unusual. That's the kind of Star Wars game I want to play, because I feel like everybody feels like, oh, it's Star Wars. This has to be a blockbuster or we're not touching it. You know, it's like, it's got to be not even that it has to be successful. It's got to be accessible, right? Yeah. It's got to be something that little kids can play and ask their parents for Christmas. It's got to be something that 20s, 30-year-olds, you know, it's just got to be something that everybody enjoys. I want to see like a weird little niche Star Wars game. Like, you know, something that maybe not everyone's going to be into, but, you know, like a Star Wars deck building combat game or a Star Wars roguelike or...
That's where my brain went first, is a card game of some sort, like, but like a video game, not like a TCG. Anyway, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right. Time for listener questions.
I think we've laughed once. I hope there's some funny fucking questions in there. It's not up to me to be funny. It's up to you guys to set me up. I want softballs, baby. Emilio, how big is your dick? This home run every time.
Is that supposed to make us laugh?
I would make something funny out of it. Oh, okay. Hopefully.
All right.
Or, you know, it's very small.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's hope we got some good ones here. Warconius asks, what about special access to lewds for longstanding Patreons? Or patrons, I hear what they're now called. I don't know, man. I don't know if people want that.
Well, he does.
I think we might lose some patrons if we did that.
Yeah, I'll sell dick pics. Hit me up on my DM.
Zap asks, what was the first job you ever had, and who was the worst boss you ever had, and why?
My first job ever was helping my dad out, who was an electrician, and he was also my worst boss. Because he would yell at me so much. Like, I had to do simple things when I was really small, like 10 or 11 or whatever. I would just have to hold a flashlight on what he's working on. Mm-hmm. But I'm like 10 or 11, so I'm like, lightsaber or whatever, like butterflies or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, oh my God, would he lose his shit that I couldn't hold a flashlight. Yeah. I was getting $5 an hour.
To hold a flashlight.
Yeah.
That was pretty good money back in that day.
Yep.
I don't know how much flashlight holders make today.
Ooh, you know what sucked? I remember one time, so my dad brought on another helper. He was like my brother-in-law's cousin or something. And he was a really good worker, like a hard-working dude. And he's like, how much does he pay you? And I was like, $5 an hour. And he was like, that's what I make.
Wow.
But I'm the prodigal son? What is that word?
Prodigal?
Prodigal? Son? Yeah. All right, go ahead.
First job I ever had was actually really terrible. It was for 2 weeks, I sold newspapers door to door, the Union Tribune. And because, I don't know if it's still like this, but because it was a paper route or a job with the newspaper, they could technically pay you less than minimum wage. And back then, minimum wage was really low. So I think I was making like five something an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful. It was so terrible. I'm a horrible salesman. I'm like the worst salesman. Like, I'm like, eh, you don't need this. You know what? You can get by without this. What do you really need, man? What? There's just possessions, dude. It's just stuff. Like, you don't even need it, man.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So yeah, I was terrible at that job. So it didn't last too long. But I've never really had a bad boss. I mean, maybe when I was younger, I'd complain about my boss, but that was probably just me being, you know, young. Well,
you talk about your computer repair boss, not always like terrible, but like he definitely had his quirks,
was
just, right?
Yeah, he was such a quirky guy. He was one of the smartest people I've ever met, though. Yeah. Like he wasn't just smart, as in he knew a lot of stuff. Like I kind of knew that going into it, but I remember like he would just pick up things so quick. Mm. I remember
like new things coming out.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Like I would start to explain something, and he'd just be like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I got it." Like that. Damn. Like he was just such a quick learner.
Do you know where he is now?
He is in Missouri living with Amish people, like selling seeds and automating their, crops. Yeah, dude.
So he brought technology to the Amish without the Amish using the technology directly.
I'm not exactly sure what he did. I know
he's probably killing it.
He sells seeds. I know that's part of his thing.
Yeah.
And also, he does something with the crops. I don't know how technical it is, but he's a very technical guy. But yeah, and I know the Amish are very like anti-technology.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so he's had a very interesting life. But
damn,
yeah. And
how do you know this from Facebook, or how do you?
I've talked to him every now and then. He contacts me on Steam. We're still friends on Steam.
Oh, and that's awesome.
Every couple of years, he'll hit me up and he'll just be like,
"Does he know you have a podcast?"
So. Yeah, I've told him about it. I don't know if he's listening.
Send him the link to this this episode right here specifically.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah. I mean, those were good times, man, working at that place. He was a quirky dude, but we all were. It was just like three nerds working in a computer repair shop. So, yeah, we were...
It's a nerdy romantic.
Yeah.
Episode title right there.
Yeah, but I learned a lot from him, too, man. I learned so much from that job. And I got thrown into... He was always like, dude, he threw me into so many situations where I was over my head. He was like, ah, you got this. You're fine. And I learned so much that way, but...
Throwing the kid into the pool, right?
Yeah, it was that was a great experience. I miss those days.
How can I get some more booze without missing a question, Bobby? Is there anything you could talk about? Do you have a specific quest in that game that you could talk about?
In which game?
Grifflins?
Oh, Grifflins? Nah, not really. I don't know. I could do like ad reads.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Gorilla Mind, brought to you by Lack of Whiskey.
Well, it's been a while since we talked about Gorilla Mind. All honesty, guys, I had to cut back on this stuff, man. I was killing it in the gym, but I feel like it was changing my personality a little bit. Like, I don't know. I just noticed myself arguing with my girlfriend more when I was taking it. So I was like, maybe I'll chill out on this for a week. Because I've seen people go through the same things where they take these types of supplements and they think they're killing it, but at the same time, it makes them real irritable or less talkative or more just kind of, I don't know, in their head about stuff. So I've been kind of toning down on that, but geez, man, I feel like it's just that extra oomph when I'm in the gym. It's too intense. It's the rush, man. If you're going to get the rush, then take it easy on that stuff. The smooth, I think that's probably better. That's probably better suited for me personally, but you can find the links on our webpage, or if you scroll down in the show notes, though, they will be there. If you've never tried anything like this, I'd recommend giving it a shot, and it also kicks back a little to us too. So that would help us out as well. And that's my ad read. Before and Amelia's not back yet, so I got more time to kill. Yeah, remember when I said I was a great salesman? And here I am trying to push drugs. Well, I don't know, we could talk about something else. Oh, here's Amelia. All right. Oh, how's the cats? How's the cat's birthday? It was good. So my girlfriend's cats, their birthdays are right next to each other. Both in February.
And, why wouldn't you just put them together? They don't know any different.
No, I don't know. One turned 7, the other turned 9. Yeah.
Okay.
They're getting old. waiting for him to chill out a little bit. All right. Next question coming from Afro Dragon. What do you still hide in your drawer?
Oh, shit. My flashlight. Although I threw it away. Me and Sam talked about me throwing it away. I hadn't used it in fucking, I don't know, over a year or a year and a half or 2 years. They're like, why do you have it? You still have this thing. And I was like, I don't know. So I got rid of it. It's just sitting there. It's like a big, it's really big too. It's like a foot and a half long. Yeah.
That long?
Over a foot.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big, how do you clean that?
So there's, imagine the shape of like an old school flashlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like this big and really thick on one end and skinny on the other end. So like the handle and then the flashlight part. So the front part, the bigger side, has this twist off cap. And that's where the pussy or butthole or mouth is, right? Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever you want to those things. And then the other side has a smaller version of that that you unscrew. And then that regulates how much suction is generated when you're doing things. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like an air release. So you can regulate how slurpy it is, I guess. Then to clean it, so you take off both caps, and then you just run water through the hole that runs through the whole thing.
Okay.
But that's the saddest, worst part of the whole thing. Like, Rogan was so right. See, his first sponsor was the fleshlight, and he would say, like, you feel so, like, it definitely feels better than jacking off.
Mm-hmm.
But then cleaning it out is like the worst. It's like you've already come. There's no motivation there. And it's like, and it's gross. It's super gross.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound very romantic at all.
Yeah.
I don't think I hide anything in my drawer. I don't know. I don't have a lot of stuff. I think I still have like a cigar cutter in there and some matches, which.
Fuck right off, dude. Really? A cigar cutter? That's what you're going to go with?
Dude, I don't have anything in my drawers, man.
My little wooden heart.
I don't keep a lot of stuff, dude. If I can throw it out, it's gone. Under my desk, yeah, nothing under there. Under the bed.
I can attest to this. Bobby has, it's, to say minimalist is, it's like he's got his kitchen, he's got his computer, and his docking port where he plugs himself in at night. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of sentimental stuff.
Yeah.
Under my desk, my closet, no. I don't have a lot of room. You got to make some tough decisions when you don't have a lot of storage space. And let's see, Days says, what's the one thing you just can't seem to do, accomplish, or finish?
Working out these days. I worked out, I would say almost, so I'm 40. Of those years, I probably worked out 20. So almost like, yeah, half of my life pretty much. I've always worked out. I've always had a decent body. And now I've just kind of like let it go. It's just like lack of motivation. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think that hits everyone at a certain point.
Yeah, I know. But there's a lot of people who are like their 40s were their like best decade. Mm-hmm. And I know I can still do that. It's just like I don't know. It just doesn't come. I don't know what it is.
You build up a lot of inertia.
Yeah.
It, the hardest part is getting started. I mean, it comes in waves for me. I stopped working out for a while and then started about a little over a year ago. And
are you on or off right now?
Oh, I'm on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
I'm really on.
Are you really?
What do you mean? Yeah. Yeah, dude. I work out twice a day now. I work out every single day of the week.
I think it's too much, dude, because for a minute there, you were like bulking up and looking good, and now you can't see it at all. So I think you're like probably burning off some of your muscle.
No, I mean, my weight doesn't really change that much, but no, I'm getting bigger, man. I don't fit into a lot of shirts.
You're wearing like fucking baggy stuff so you don't show off the pecs.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
Apex like legend over here.
Like, you know that gray shirt that I wear, that gray button-down shirt, dark gray one?
Yeah.
I've had it forever. That one just doesn't even fit me anymore.
Dang.
Yeah, it's super uncomfortable to wear, so Yeah, I've definitely gotten bigger, but my weight's about the same. But yeah, but there was a while that where I didn't work out at all. It was, you know, I blame a lot on HOTS. But when I started working out again, it was so painful. And not like the, like, oh, my muscles are sore. It's just like my joints, everything hurt, yeah, man. It just all hurt. It was super painful. And I just kind of, I pushed through it. And like, I got sciatica for a while. Like, I just, it was rough. But I pushed through it. And like, now it's no thing, man. But it takes a while, dude.
Yeah.
It takes a long time. But consistency. The one thing that I can't do, though, or accomplish, bachelor's degree, probably be my biggest regret not getting one.
Who needs one, dude?
See, that's the thing, man. Like, I look at it as kind of a transaction. I'm like, you know how much it would cost me to get a bachelor's degree and how little it would affect my life, probably?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't. But at the same time, it's kind of important to me. And every now and then, like, I'll take a class over at community college on something that I'm interested in. They actually sent me a letter saying, like, you have too many units, so you're not going to get priority registration or whatever. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, it's across the street from you.
Yeah, yeah, it's very close. And everything's online now, but I don't like the online as much. But still, it's like I enjoy being in that academic environment, but to actually make the push to get a bachelor's degree at a 4-year university would be expensive. I think.
Why? Like, yeah, it's a personal thing, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Zap asks, if you had to eat one of the other casters, who would it be, and who do you think would taste the best?
I'd eat Chi because she doesn't have a dick. I would not eat. Millie don't eat no dick.
Yeah. Sorry, Chi. I'd have to eat you. Yeah. I mean, just look at my options here. You understand.
Oh, yeah. I taste like chorizo, which is it's always good in small portions, but, I mean, dude, yeah. 200 pounds of chorizo? Who's going to eat that?
Scram TX, what one vehicle from a video game would you want in real life?
I read that one, but I didn't really choose. God, a jetpack would be nice, but it's like, what's your practical purpose on that? Like,
I don't know.
A functional one that actually works? I could get to work in like 20 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. That would be awesome.
All right. Well, I linked something here. This is from Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. And this is a point in the game where you get on top of a dinosaur who has it's an actual dinosaur, but he's got this robotic harness and laser cannon that you get on. And then you ride this guy to the final boss while just blowing up the entire base. And I thought this was one of the coolest vehicles I've seen in a video game.
Dude, the production value, or the production of, like, giving it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you walk down that hallway, the lights. I mean, it's Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, so yeah, there's neon lights everywhere. The 80s music is bumping.
Can we go through one episode without you bringing up this game?
It's a great game. This is another game that I should replay, but I don't know if it's actually got a lot of replayability, though.
Yeah, it's super short.
I 100%ed it. It's the best Far Cry game, though, because you don't have to spend, like, 30 hours and then waste a bunch of time on a side missions, and then eventually be like, I'll just do the main missions. Like, it's just, you just plow your way through it, 7 hours, and you're done.
We're going to have to change this podcast name to Old Man Gaming, dude, because, like, the shortness of games, that metric is rising in stock. You know what I'm saying? Like, how short a game is, is more important than, like, game design sometimes.
It depends on the game. Like, if it's a campaign, like a single player narrative game, then yeah, like, dude, give me 6 hours. Like, 6 hours, I'm probably over it. So, right. You know, you can't make that too long. But if it's a game like The Witcher, yeah, that needs to be a little longer. Right. Or if it's a game like, some games don't have a time limit.
If a game's good enough, you make the time.
Yeah, like a multiplayer game, like PUBG. You don't put a time limit on that game.
I got a good amount, dude. I have like 200 hours.
In PUBG?
I think so.
Wow.
I might be off. But yeah.
That's a lot. I don't hit 200 hours on a lot of games.
Yeah.
Very few. All right. Another one from Afro Dragon.
Oh, I didn't answer. Did I answer?
Not really.
Yeah, it's funny because Red Rum said it would be a mech.
A mech?
Yeah. Probably one of the faster ones from like, Xeno Saga, something like that. There, I saw another one today. It came out up on my feed, but definitely not like a fucking mech warrior, like giant one. Definitely one with boosters that can zip around and stuff. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I could rule the world with one of those, probably. Right? Do you think one fucking like Japanese animation Gundam thing could like militarily take over the world?
No.
Well, we could,
right. Like the Killdozer, dude, just level a whole town, just be unstoppable.
Yeah.
I don't, dude, maybe a Chocobo would be good too. I don't know. All right. Afro Dragon has another question. He says, not to get too political, what game character would make a great president?
Who's the most level-headed character? There's been a lot of characters that I'm like, man, yeah. I follow this guy. And they usually kill that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like in that Red Dead Redemption 2, there's the leader of the crew. He was pretty like Buck or Chuck or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with the Gray Man from Left 4 Dead. I mean, from Half-Life. Just because
the Gray Man?
Yeah, nothing he ever says.
G-Man?
Yeah, G-Man.
Okay.
Nothing he ever says really makes any sense. He's in a suit. You know?
He's already kind of presidential, yeah, I guess. Yeah, He's dressed for the part.
Yeah.
He's very elusive. Not really sure what's going on. Not sure what his policies are. Yeah, I don't know.
Or what team he's on, really. Like, yeah. You know nothing about
it. What side is he even on?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. God.
That's a good one. That's a really good question, man.
Yeah, I wish I would have read that beforehand so I could come up with a better answer here. I don't know.
Wow.
Doom guy, he'd kind of be like Macho Camacho.
And we wouldn't have to worry about zombies. We'd be prepped for demon invasions. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well, that's a good idea, Red Rum. So GLaDOS, like a robotic president. I feel like that would be good.
Mm.
Maybe not GLaDOS, but some sort of...
AI?
Yeah, some sort of AI would be good.
Shepard?
From Mass Effect?
Yeah.
But I feel like you could totally see him running for president in another world. Like, he could run for president in, like, 20 years when he gets older. You know, strong military background.
Right.
I feel like he'd have a strong platform to run on.
I feel like one of the people that Shepard talks to, somebody, another Mass Effect character would probably be the perfect president. I just can't think of them. There was, like, a really soft
spot. Big guy, Rex Garrus?
No.
That she really likes?
Yeah, like really likes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Garrus likes.
What about that lady whose face you can't see? She seemed pretty smart.
Yeah.
Started with an F. Can't remember her name.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should come up with some, we should think about this, get some really good answers, and like maybe five of them and do a Twitter poll. Because I'd have our own little DLG election.
Yeah.
2020.
I like it.
All right. Comic Clown, that's a new name. Which video game environment, location, or setting would you prefer to visit? You know, I saw this question and I thought about it, and the first thing that popped into my mind was really two of the BioShock games, both Infinite and the first one, because I think those are just
the most beautiful. You're such a racist, dude.
I mean, no, aside from, all that racism, that's kind of weird, but just... For the view, I mean, being on a city that's floating around in the clouds or one that's way underwater, like,
that dude, would be I thought cool. For sure you're going to say, like, Ark or, like...
Ark? No.
To see the dinosaurs, man.
Like,
Stomping Lands?
No.
No?
Or Go Home Dinosaurs?
Yeah, there you go. Like, cute dinosaurs, right?
Yeah. No, man, I think, I don't know. I really got to go back and play Infinite because that game is just held up so high in my mind. Like, I'm worried I'm going to go back and be like, oh, this is really isn't that great. But I just remember that game being so great and looking so beautiful.
Mine would be like, don't shower with your dad or whatever. It's just a foggy. Who's your dad or whatever that shit's called. It's like a really foggy gym room, and you have to find which one's your dad by I don't know how you do it. That's my perfect fantasy setting. No,
but this is to visit, so I don't know if you had to live somewhere, how would that change it?
Well, the memory would last a lifetime, dude. I don't know. Maybe
if I had to live somewhere, probably Stardew Valley. I could live out that game. Just like give up all my belongings and become a farmer. I could do that.
In Diablo 3, what's up, Shadow Master? In Diablo 3, at a certain point, you go to heaven, and mm-hmm. it's all corrupted. I would. It's super beautiful, but like also corrupted. So like, maybe heaven before the corruption with all those like super hot angels and stuff. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're kind of ethereal though, aren't they? They don't have faces, and they're.
I could have sworn they were hot.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of Ariel from Heroes of the Storm, and she's from that area, and also Tyrael. Yeah, dude. I don't know.
I might be mixing up with the Spawn Heaven. Spawn Heaven is just full with like supermodels.
All right, that is it for listener questions. What are we playing next week?
Oh, geez. I'm playing fucking Grifters or whatever.
Grifflands. Yeah. God, yeah. I'm probably still going to play it.
Yeah.
So hooked on that game. I want to beat it, man. Like, I'm going to beat it, and I'm going to be completely over it and never play the game again, probably. So at the same time, I kind of don't want to beat it. Maybe when it comes out, full release, and they have the other characters, that would be cool.
Yeah.
And different decks and different cards.
Maybe I should wait, huh? Until they're done?
No, dude, you should definitely play it. Like, yeah. it's a solid game. Like, I think you'd enjoy it in its state right now, but...
Sick.
Yeah, I'll be playing more of that, and maybe Bioshock Infinite. I don't know.
Yep.
See if it holds up.
We have a new segment called 5 Years Later. All right. Speaking for Bobby and myself, it's such a... I feel like we just shoved this episode down their ears. Fuck, I don't even know. God, heaven, angel, model, tits, everybody?
Yeah.
Nope. Let me try again. Amish titties, everybody.
That's a little bit better. So we need to shorten this outro music. Have it come in right about here.
No, this is good. I like this one.
No, because we always talk over it anyway.
Yeah, and that's the point, I think.